Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." Verses 1 through 25, Luke chapter 1. Thank you, Father, once again for the power, the wisdom, the grace, the anointing, and the empowerment that rests and that permeates your word. Thank you for the privilege we have during this Advent season, this Christmas season, to take time to read and meditate on your word and learn insights and truths about the wonderful and beautiful and powerful story of Christmas and Christ coming to the world as a baby so long ago. And thank you for all the insights we can draw from it as we take the time to go through them. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to make that a high priority individually and as families to read through all the Christmas narratives in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 and listen and learn from your word and your spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the Christmas stories. Thank you so much for the historical accounts and for all the experiences that happened there in them. Father, thank you so much with how big of an impact it makes in our lives today. Father, I ask that we'd spend all day, every day, up until Christmas, just really taking time to meditate on the birth and the life of Jesus. And Father, thank you so much for sending us our Savior who saved us from sin, from the power of sin and from the consequences of it. Thank you so much for your love and for your mercy and for calling us to so much greater things. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As always, it's a privilege and to have you as a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic, Family Discipleship Projects During Christmas and Advent. And I want to encourage you to, if you would, jot some of these thoughts down and or take the time to be sure and get the podcast of this broadcast and listen to it a number of times, because we're encouraging you to really take to heart the suggestions that we make, because these are things whereby you and your family can have a very spiritually encouraging Christmas season where you can learn more about Christ, about Christmas, and about being servants of the Lord. Remember, Christmas is Jesus' birthday, and he came giving the best that he had on his birthday himself. He gave the world, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, and brought salvation to the world. So may we worship and praise him for his goodness and grace, and also learn from him and make the most of this Christmas season as we're simply faithful ambassadors representing the message of Christmas and representing the Lord of Christmas, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So picking up, continuing to read in Luke chapter 1, picking up now at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord! How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior! For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. That was verses 1 through 56 of Luke chapter 1. Thank you again, Father, for all the wonder and the power and the grace in each of the different accounts, the different aspects and sides of the Christmas story. Father, more and more set us on fire with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship, not only during the Christmas season, but all year long. Help us to be the flaming evangelists and disciple makers you have called us to be, knowing that the greatest gift in all of life is Jesus. And as we help people to come to receive that gift, we have the wonderful privilege of partnering with you to carry out the greatest work in the world, the work of your church and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're looking today at the topic, Family Discipleship Projects During Christmas and Advent. And so again, want to make some suggestions to you. One is one we've mentioned before, and we're going to share more about one of the articles we've shared before about this. But one of them, of course, is please take time individually and with your family to read through all the Christmas narratives a number of times during the Christmas season. Again, that's Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, because there will be insights, truths, and things that you didn't know or fully grasp about Christmas that you'll grow in your understanding of as you take time to read and meditate on them. So read them through, but also, parents, be sure to let your children do much of the reading. I don't think I can overemphasize that. Remember, Dad and Mom, it's good for you to read sometimes as well, obviously, with them. But keep in mind, when your children are reading themselves, they have to engage one way or another. You know, sometimes when Dad or Mom are reading, the children might daydream, might doze off, their mind may be somewhere else. But when they're reading, they have to engage to some extent. And so, in fact, to a great extent, typically. So having them read is important. And parents, allow them to stop and ask questions. That, too, is something I don't think I can overemphasize. Children will typically have a bunch of questions about the Christmas story, and for good reason. The stories of Christmas are full of wonder, miracles, and God's hand doing some unique things during this season of the year. And typically, children have questions. Adults typically have questions as well, to be honest with you. And so allow the children to stop and ask any and all the questions they have. In fact, it's a good idea for you to probably keep a journal of what you do and write down the children's questions. Because very often the questions may very well be Holy Spirit-inspired questions that everybody in the family needs to take time and stop and think about. And children, they just have good questions. So allow them to stop and ask any and all the questions they wish to ask during the reading time and or at the end of the reading time. And again, we would encourage you to write down every single question. Father, thank you for every family represented and families that are a part of our listening family. Father, anoint us all with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to make it a high priority individually and as families to read through the Christmas stories during the Christmas season. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much rich grace, blessing, and encouragement and edification that can happen in our lives individually and as a family as we take time to read through your word in that way. And help us to know, Lord, that when our children are reading your word, they're interacting with Jesus. They're spending time in the presence of Jesus. They're spending time listening to Jesus. What a wonderful and fruitful thing. That's a good thing for our children and for all the rest of us as well. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Family Discipleship Projects During Christmas and Advent. We'll be right back.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
music from Children of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir with Happy Birthday, Jesus. And what a beautiful and a great reminder that Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And we're to celebrate, worship, and serve him throughout the Christmas season and beyond. And Jesus came on his birthday giving the best that he had, giving the world the greatest gift they could receive, himself. He came as our Lord and Savior. And how important it is that we are believers who are on fire of the Holy Spirit to carry the message, the greatest message in the world, to the world. We're looking today at the topic, Family Discipleship Projects During Christmas and Advent. And we're encouraging you to either jot them down or get a copy of this podcast from this particular broadcast so that you can keep them in mind, and we encourage you to take the time to do them. We've already mentioned the importance of, as a family, reading through the Christmas narratives, again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, not just once or twice, but several times throughout the Christmas season. I would encourage you to journal it. Talk about events that happen around them and write down the questions that children are asking, and they are going to ask questions. And typically, their questions are really good questions then. So, but another project, too, is pray with your family about the selection of gifts that you give to any and everyone that you give gifts to. Ask God to guide you in the selection of every single gift. And also prayerfully look at putting gospel tracts in all the gifts you give away. Why is that important? Well, the fact is, many people that you give gifts to may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior at all. Remember, Christmas is about Jesus from beginning to end. It's not about how excited you are about what gift you give or what gift you get or what you get to do during the Christmas. It's about Jesus. And so sharing the message of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings is a very wise thing to do throughout the Christmas season. Make the most of the opportunity when many times people's hearts and minds are more open to the gospel and insights about Jesus during the Christmas season. So let's maximize the fruit of that. Let's make the most of that. And one way to help do that is, again, both pray about every gift you give, ask the Lord to guide you to give a gift that's meaningful to the persons that you're giving to, but also consider placing gospel tracts in every single gift that you give away. And talk to your children about why you do that. Talk to them about the importance of evangelism and discipleship. Talk to them about salvation. And parents, be prepared to invite your children to pray and give their lives to Jesus during the Christmas season. Again, keep in mind, many a child and or adult have gotten saved at home, not just, sometimes we may think, well, that's what happens at church, and often it does. But the fact is, when you talk about Jesus and why he came into the world as a baby so long ago and the salvation that he brought, invite individuals to pray and receive Christ, even at home. It can be a wonderful opportunity to do just that. So parents, prayerfully be listening to the Holy Spirit. Be prepared to invite your children to pray and give their hearts to Jesus, maybe during gift-wrapping time or gift selection time or prayer time. But invite them to make that very, very important step. If they're already saved, invite them to recommit their hearts to the Lord Jesus during the Christmas season as well. And also, in addition to being prayerful about the gifts we give and placing gospel tracts in them, a third idea would be to also do Christmas mission projects. And one way to approach that, now keep in mind, each person can prayerfully arrive at how they would want to do this, but one way to approach that is during the Christmas season, as you look at mission projects to get involved with, instead of spending a large amount of your money on gifts, or maybe if you figure out whatever your gift-giving budget was, prayerfully consider limiting your gift-giving budget, maybe cut it in half, and give half of that budget to a mission or mission projects and use the rest of it for gift-giving. In other words, the gifts you give may not be quite as expensive as you might would normally do, but what a wonderful way to give a gift to Jesus. By giving to a kingdom project, a mission project that honors God and builds his kingdom. Remember, this is one of the many things we can do to give a gift to Jesus himself. When we give to missions, when we give to ministries that are sharing the gospel, ministries that are helping people to grow up in their faith, ministries that are reaching out to nations or communities in the world that have never heard of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're giving a gift to Jesus. And remember, it's his birthday, not ours. And so that's one wonderful way to give to him. So prayerfully consider cutting your gift-giving budget in half or a third or something along. Just be prayerful about it, but decide how you're going to do it. But figure out a way to give to a mission project or maybe more than one mission projects during the Christmas season. Also, parents, be sure and take time to talk to your children about why we should give to missions. Remember, this help your children to understand that this is a Christmas gift to Jesus by giving to his kingdom instead of just buying gifts for other people. Remember, it's Jesus' birthday, and emphasize that to your children. We're giving to Jesus when we share financially to help support ministries that are sharing the gospel, ministries that are doing the work of discipleship, maybe in our nation or nations, other nations of the world as well. So making the most of that opportunity, but really talking to your children about why evangelism is important. What does that mean? Why discipleship is important? What does that really mean as well? These are insights and truths that, yes, young children can begin to grasp as you take the time to explain it to them. Remember, as we emphasize to children that Christmas is Jesus. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. It's not about so many other things that people put so much time, effort, and energy and emphasis on. It's about Jesus Christ and sharing the message of Jesus Christ and sharing the love of Jesus Christ as well. Those are good goals to pursue. Also, during the Christmas season, take the time to pray for mothers and babies. You know, one of the very powerful things that is, I think, an important truth to consider during the Christmas season is Mary was honored by God to be chosen to be the mother of Jesus, but it didn't necessarily at all mean that it was a life of ease and comfort. From the very beginning, just the fact that she was to be carrying a baby, the world looked upon Mary as if she'd sinned and done something wrong when she hadn't at all. But that was probably a very tough part of being selected as the mother of Messiah. Even her husband, Joseph, who she was engaged to, he too thought she had sinned and been unfaithful to him and was initially planning to divorce her until the Lord sent an angel to step into his dream and told him what was going on and that she was carrying the Messiah and that he was to be her husband and the father, the earthly father of the Messiah as well. So Joseph, by God's grace, went ahead and married her. But many other people never got privy to the information that Joseph was given. And they too probably all their life thought Mary had sinned and done wrong when she hadn't at all. But also, the fact is, to have your baby born while you're traveling, that can seem to be super inconvenient, yet God in his grace and his mercy allowed that to happen. And remember, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. He had to be. Prophecy had to be fulfilled. And so it happened while they were there. But there are many other challenges that Mary dealt with. Apparently, Joseph died at a relatively young age, where when Jesus was an adult, Joseph was no longer on the scene. So Mary's life was not a life of ease and comfort and just beauty and everything worked out just beautifully. Apparently, she went through great heartache. And even Simeon in Luke chapter 2 let her know that she would experience great heartache as she watched her son die on the cross and go through all that he went through as the, yes, Jesus is the, it was and is the Savior of the world, but also that was Mary's son. And she had to watch her son go through great difficulty, trouble, suffering, and watch him die on the cross. And if we can even just try to imagine how difficult that was, yes, for a mother. So during the Christmas season, pray for mothers and babies, because sometimes the unique challenges that mothers go through during the Christmas season come in all shapes and sizes, but we should pray much for mothers and babies. And again, prayerfully consider giving to a local pregnancy clinic, a pregnancy ministry, because again, they help mothers during this season and beyond as well. And again, the unique challenges of motherhood and small babies during Christmas and beyond can be huge. So pray for mothers and babies during the Christmas season. We're going to take time now to share an article by the title, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. And amongst other things, I hope that it will encourage you to pray for mothers and their babies during the Christmas season. Again, the title of the article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. 1 Samuel 1, 27 through 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Again, 1 Samuel 1, 27 through 28. Three unique stories of life, pregnancy, and motherhood are found in the Word of God under very unique and interesting circumstances. Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary are three women from the Old or New Testaments of the Bible who each became mothers through unique circumstances. The story of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Hannah was a young wife who had a great desire to be the mother of a little boy. She was barren until after praying and committing her son to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her to conceive and birth a son. Elizabeth's story is found in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had prayed for a child for a long time, and after many years, the Lord blessed them with a son. When she did become pregnant, it was at an age that people would clearly consider her pregnancy as miraculous. Mary was a young virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Her story is found largely in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Yet before the consummation of their marriage, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and announced that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She was soon found to be with child by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God before she was fully married. In Luke chapter 1, Mary responded by giving God great praise and thanksgiving for the blessing and honor of the responsibility. There were other women in Scripture who longed to be mothers or treasured being a mother: Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, to name a few. One question that you may ask is this: Why does any woman wish to be a mother? Mothers typically have to give so much of themselves to one or more children. They will typically sacrifice much of their time, strength, and attention and life for them. Obviously, during pregnancy, there can be much discomfort, inconvenience, and sacrifice by the mother in order to see after the well-being of the baby. Her child during and after pregnancy will be the focus of much of her time and attention. And this may be true for around 18 years or so of her life in some unique ways, and it seems that sacrificial giving of oneself is just a part of being a mother. Interestingly, though, Naomi in the book of Ruth speaks of her daughter-in-laws of finding, quote-unquote, rest each in the house of a husband. Ruth chapter 1, verse 9. Well, since when does a mother find, quote-unquote, rest in her home with a husband and a number of children? Well, we can pick up there, about there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we're sharing from an article entitled Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. We'll be right back.
Here. And inside this stable filled with hay. Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with? Just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the word.
Oh. The music of For Him with A Strange Way to Save the World. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Family Discipleship Projects During Christmas and Advent. And we're sharing from an article entitled, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. Interestingly, though, Naomi in the Book of Ruth speaks of her daughters-in-law finding, quote-unquote, rest each in the house of a husband, Ruth 1:9. Since when does a mother find, quote-unquote, rest in her home with a husband and a number of children? It seems that Naomi is not so much talking about rest for her physical body. She's referring to rest as in a sense of fulfillment and contentment as a wife and a mother of children. And there's definitely a sense of fulfillment for many women when they are blessed with certain gifts that only God can give. Some of those gifts are marriage, pregnancy, and motherhood. Without question, we see in God's Word that many women long to bear children, long to be mothers, and often desire to have an abundance of children. See Genesis 29 and 30. Tragically, we live in a world and culture where many do not value these precious gifts from God. Sadly, some people don't seem to place much value on them at all. In fact, some people would say that pregnancy and motherhood are a burden and an inconvenience. People who support the tragedy of abortion will often have and encourage this kind of attitude. Abortion is a major tragedy that is at war with the reality of pregnancy and motherhood. It strikes against most everything that is life, including pregnancy and motherhood. It destroys pregnancy along with the baby. Sadly, sometimes physically, emotionally, and otherwise, it may also destroy the mother. Why would anyone be unwise enough to destroy that which God creates? There are so many women who long to be pregnant and have a baby, but have not been able to do so. Certainly there are many mothers who are mothers through adoption, which is certainly a wonderful thing. Becoming a mother through adoption is also a gift from God. As we take time to pray for and honor our mothers during this season, let's also take time to honor God who gave us mothers. And may we also recognize, honor, and cherish the gifts God has entrusted to them, life, pregnancy, and motherhood. Again, the title of that article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, the title, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. The next article we want to share is one we've shared before, but once again, a discipleship project specifically that grandparents can take on for their grandchildren. The title of the article, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Luke 2:11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 3. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 3. How encouraging, uplifting, and inspiring it is for believers to take time to read, meditate, and think about the beautiful, glorious, and grace-filled narratives we know as the Christmas stories. They're found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. What a tragedy it is that so many children have never in their life read the Christmas narratives or Christmas story all the way through. The following is a project specifically for grandparents during the Christmas season. Let each of your grandchildren know that you'd like for them to do the following for you. Call them every day for 9 days during Advent or the month of December, and during each call, read a part of the Christmas stories out loud. One possible reading plan you could use is the following. For children who are 8 years old or older, they can read according to this possible plan. Day 1, Matthew chapter 1. Day 2, Matthew chapter 2. Day 3, Luke 1, verses 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 1, 21 to 37. The next day, Luke 1, 38 to 56. The following day, Luke 1, 57 to 80. The following day, Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 2, 21 to 38. And then the final day, Luke 2, 39 to 52. For children younger than 8, you might simply have them read shorter passages that you select from these same chapters in Matthew and Luke, or you may even choose to have them read the same passages each time. Let them know that you'll give to each one of them $1, $5, or whatever figure that you prayerfully come up with for each of the children each time they call you up and read one of the passages for you. For many a grandchild that isn't particularly motivated to read just for the sake of reading for granddad or grandmom, the money prize has a strange way of suddenly causing them to all of a sudden become highly motivated to read for granddad or grandmom. Why is a project like this such a fruitful one? Allow me to share with you several reasons. Number one, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. Number two, when our children and grandchildren read the Word of God, they're spending time listening to and fellowshipping with Jesus. And for many a child, a grandparent doing this kind of project with them, this may be that grandparent may be the only person in his or her life that is having them to read the Word of God out loud to them. A third reason, there's nothing in all of the world that will bless and nourish the lives of our children or grandchildren more than the powerful Word of God. And next, grandparents can have one more excuse to call and spend time in conversation with each of their grandchildren. After they begin this reading project, I would suggest you begin to mail the prize money the same day that they start reading for you. Mail it, obviously put in the mail and or cash app it, however you wish to do that. But one way to do this is to see to it that you send 8 different checks or payments to each of the grandchildren. Why do it this way instead of sending one payment at the end of the project? Well, allow me to explain. Picture your grandchild asking dad or mom the following question. Mom, did the mail come yet? Grandmother's sending me some money today for reading about Christmas. Or imagine the grandchild opening an envelope and saying, here's my money from granddad. He must think reading about Jesus and Christmas is really important to send me money for it. And imagine your grandchild doing this for 8 days coming up to Christmas, getting more, 9 days coming up to Christmas, getting more and more excited as they get the mail with each passing day. Obviously, the great blessing to your grandchild is not the money. It's having the eternal Word of God planted in his or her heart and mind. Every grandparent can choose to do the project however they want to. You certainly can adjust the details in whatever way you wish or need to. That's entirely up to you. This is simply a fun way, but also a very fruitful way to carry out a Christmas discipleship project that can have eternal fruit in the life of each of your grandchildren. What do you say, grandparents? Are our grandchildren worth the fruitful and fun effort? They're more than worth it. Again, the title of this particular article, again, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. If you'd like to get a copy of this article or any of the articles we've shared, again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you a copy of this article or any and all of the other articles that we've shared as well. The earlier article is entitled Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. So again, both one or both of these articles, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. Thank you again, Father, for every family represented that is listening today. And thank you for the opportunity for us to do wonderful discipleship projects during the Christmas season and beyond that will help our children to come to know Christ and help them to begin to grow up and grow strong in Christ. Lord, help us to take to heart the importance of us making discipleship the priority you want us to make it in our homes and in our families. Help us to know, Lord, that not only is it a productive kind of thing for us to be doing during the Christmas season, it can be super fun and enjoyable, but at the same time, something that will bless our children for today and all eternity. Help us to carry out these kinds of things as you would have us to, again, during the Christmas season and beyond. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to make that eternally important decision. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with me now and commit your heart and whole life to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent, and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you daily. Lord Jesus, I fully recommit my heart, my life, my all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to get to you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us again, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And once again, the two articles, if you'd like to get copies of one or both, same email. The first article entitled Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. Second article entitled, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get one or both and others that we provide for you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.